be a living vessel for you to shine through. We ask, O God, that there be an understanding established upon our hearts and our minds, so that we all grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be established in the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you, O Father God. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on a series on Leadership Principles 2. And we speak about principles in which, especially 40 principles which we run the church by. And we have always taken it for granted that everyone will know the Bible, they will read the Word, and they will know what those principles are. But through time, I realized that sometimes we see the Word of God differently, and then some aspects of principles flow forth from our personality, and so the methodology and the application may sometimes differ. And it would be good that when we work with people, that we understand what their principles are, so that we could flow with them. Especially here in this church, we have a set of principles that we run the church by, and it's derived from the scriptures, and we all need an understanding of them that we could work together as we flow along in the Holy Spirit here in this place. The first principle that we touched on the last week, sometimes we may group the principles together, sometimes we may just discuss them one at a time, depend on whether it's complex or just simple, or whether it's related. And as we look at, especially on leadership areas, last week we touched on the principle that there can only be one Red Indian chief. In every teamwork, there is always one captain. In every gathering of where there are more than two people, leadership needs to be established. There's no such thing as a co-equal. Even when we are joint heirs and together with Christ as husband and wife, yet God has said a husband is the head. Now, it has nothing to do with equality. We are all equal before God. However, it does have to do with God's structure and how He flows. God made both husband and wife equal before Him. They are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. But where two come together, if the Red Indian chief is not determined, there are going to be problems. We all know in life, and even those of you spouses here realize, that there's no such thing as a total 100% agreement with another human being. There will be some slight differences. It's just a matter of how much percentage we agree. There's no such thing as 100% for our differing personalities and our differing methods, although the principles may be the same. And because of that impossibility, even husbands and wives do not agree on everything, for they have different personalities. Because of that, there is a percentage of disagreement that is necessary to be handled by one being the head. And there is a lot of give and take in the relationship. But where the final word and authority is not determined in the relationship, there will be continual problem. Why continual problem? Because there will be fighting and quarreling until one becomes the head. That's actually what happens. And so if it's not determined from the start, the fighting and the strife are not prevented. The second principle that we want to touch on this morning is on the delegation of authority. Delegation of authority, and it ties up to that. And how we are going to phrase it, you know, the delegation takes place outside in the secular world. But the principle that we rest on in the church is that, although we phrase it differently, in principle 2, all appointments come from God. All appointments come from God. And it's linked to delegation of authority, but we are recognizing here that in life, God gives to each person a goal, a vision, and a purpose to fulfill. Whatever positions we hold in life, whether we are well known or unknown, makes no difference to our reward in heaven. However, we all do have a special call of God, and we recognize here that delegation of authority in the kingdom of God, it is dependent upon an appointment by God. No man can give us what only God can give us. At the same time, we can never enter areas just because we feel that we deserve it. Because all appointment and delegation need to flow from the throne of God, from heaven. Promotion cometh forth not from the east or from the west, but it cometh forth from God. And I like to look at delegation that way. In the world, delegation of authority is worked out by natural principles, and some of them are unfair. For example, in the world, sometimes delegation is based on favoritism, family relationship, or it's based just by work performance. Although work performance does come in, but in the kingdom of God, it's different. Just because you can prophesy doesn't mean God is going to appoint you as a prophet. Now, if you are a prophet, then you can prophesy. It is necessary that you learn how to prophesy. And in the kingdom of God, it is not always those who supposedly qualify that qualify. Peter, James, and John, who turn out to be the key head people in the church, before James was martyred and the other James, the brother of Jesus, took over, that these people are pillars in the church. And they are basically fishermen, Peter, James, and John. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. In the natural, they are not qualified. But in God, they were appointed. And we need to take note of that, that delegation of authority within the structure and framework of the church and the principle that we go by, it is more discovering where people are rather than giving positions as a reward. Positions in the kingdom of God are not given as a reward. They are not given as titles which reward us. And that's something different from the kingdom of the world. We need to understand that. If you don't understand that, sometimes when, let's say, here we are teaching on principles by which we run the church. So it doesn't matter how long you've been in the church, it does only matter that you get into God's perfect will. If it's God's perfect will that you work in a certain area, then God will work it out. There is no room for pulling strings, no room for favoritism, no room for any other areas. The only way we can get promoted, the only way we can get in the position of God is, here we are all seeking God's perfect will, is for God to appoint you. Then what is our role? Recognition of God's appointment. And let's look at some scriptures here in the book of 1 Samuel 1. And I want to point out that this principle applies not only to the church, but it also applies to the secular world. God is in control of this earth, although the devil seems to be running loose. There are key decisions and key areas on this planet earth that God has full control. The devil only has as much authority as man gave to him, but yet God would see to it that those areas that are necessary for the furtherance of his kingdom will continue unhindered. 1 Samuel chapter 2, in the prayers of one of the devout women in the Bible, there are some things that God, that are spoken here, we need to take them in the context, alright? Verse 6, 7 and 8. The Lord kills and makes alive. Now please take the word kill as the word judge. The Lord does judge. And in His judgment, He could pronounce a death penalty like in Sodom and Gomorrah. It implies also judgment. The word kill implies not murder. It implies a judgment of death and a death carried out that flows from a judgment of God. The Lord judges and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and He brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts high. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Here it talks in general about both secular and spiritual work in God. That God controls positions in life. Much as those people who are involved in the secular world who do not know God and may not even acknowledge that God was the one who blessed them with those positions, yet God was involved. Let's turn over to another scripture in the book of Daniel. And after Daniel had the interpretation of dreams, these are the prayers or the thanksgiving of Daniel in chapter 2. Daniel, verse 20 onwards. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him." Focus on the phrase where it says God removes kings and He raises up kings. All positions of influence and authority on this earth are controlled by God. I know that some of the people who may be in authority on this earth, in the secular world, may not seem to be godly people, and some of them seem to use that against what God planned. But try to look at it from God's perspective. I'd like to help you understand it from God's perspective. You see, from God's side, every human being who has been born and who has yet to be born has a predetermined life that God has planned for them. God doesn't wait until you're born and then He figures out what to do with you. He has a plan, and each one of us has a plan. Now, the difference is this. Satan cannot give anything. He is only a deceiver. Even though you may read about stories of how Satan offered to give all these things and all this, it's because they have stolen it from somewhere. God has a plan for each one of us, what we are to do, what we are to fulfill. We are not rewarded based on our fame, based on our recognition on this earth. We are rewarded based on our faithfulness to the written plan that He had. So, for example, let me give a very secular example. For example, let's say it's a life like, let's say, Elvis Presley. In God's book, God probably has it in mind that He will reach out to many millions of people by song. It's already predetermined before He is born. Now what happens? The devil comes in and takes what God's predetermined and uses that plan that God had for his own end by persuading that man to live for the world and not for God. Now, if that same man had lived for God, he would have reached out in song, possibly to the same million, and have a different effect. Let's take another person. Maybe let's take Adolf Hitler, infamous in history, a tyrant, and some say the devil. I believe that it is in the plan of God for that man to bring renewal, let's say, to Germany, to bring that nation out into greater glory. And the devil may have sensed it, and from the early days of his life, the devil started twisting his mind and causing a hatred to enter into his life. And so that position that was predetermined by God for good, because we all know what Germany was like in those days when he rose up, they were suffering. And something that was intended for good by God, the devil twisted and turned until the power that he gained became something used for evil. So I just bring those illustrations to show forth that from God's perspective, he never planned for any man to be evil or bad. However, here's the truth that we derive from that. No man has any position without God. Every position given in the secular and the spiritual world comes as a result of God's predestination and destiny and appointment for that person. Whether we use it for good or for bad is our choice. So why should God allow that? God has already pre-planned. It's predetermined. Remember, we don't have time to turn to all the scriptures, but I'll quote you all the scriptures. Remember when the two disciples came to Jesus, James and John, and said that we would desire to sit at your right hand and on your left hand. And Jesus thought about those whom the Father has already determined. See, in heaven, anyone can grow close to God, but positions are already determined based on He being the Creator. Don't forget the truth that He is the Creator. Before we were made, He has determined what we are for. To change our goal and our role in life from God's plan is to be like a teapot deciding to be a flower pot. You will look like a very odd flower pot. Suppose I come to your house and you use teapots for flower pots. Why are you doing that? No, this teapot decided that he wants to be a flower pot. No matter how hard you try, it's going to look out of position. Now you can't, but some people do, they get away with it. Because if you fill the teapot reasonably up with sand, you could still plant a tree on it, on a plant on it. But it was not meant to be that way. We all have a predetermined plan. We need to understand that. What we see outside of the imperfect is Satan twisting that plan. Something that was intended for good can become bad based on the free choice within the jurisdiction. We are free to choose to conform to God's law or free to walk out of God's law, but it will be in disharmony within our own selves. Even people like Nebuchadnezzar discovered, yes, he was a man God chose to bring all the known world in his time under one umbrella. And God gave him the gifting, the appointment, the talent, the ability in the natural to do it before he was born. And when he succeeded, he did not acknowledge that it all came from God. And one day as he walked about the hanging gardens of Babylon, and he said, look at all these great things he has built himself, the voice from heaven spoke. And this was what the voice said in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Verse 30, the king said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men." And listen to this. "And gives it to whomever he chooses." It gives it to whomever he chooses. And when Nebuchadnezzar didn't fail to recognize that, if anyone reads the secular history of Nebuchadnezzar, you wouldn't see that you think that it's from God. He probably think that it was his God, his false God that brought him to that position. False gods have no power. Idols have no power. Only the God of the heavens and the earth has power. And if God did not permit it, he wouldn't have rise up. Now here's an interesting thing. It is possible that when a person does not fulfill their destiny, that somebody else who already has their own destiny has that person's destiny added onto them. It's a strange thing. When you look at the book of Kings, you realize that when Solomon failed and when in all that God wants him to fulfill, and then when his son Rehoboam did not flow along, did not understand plan of God, that part of the kingdom was given to Jeroboam. Now who gave it to him? God. If God didn't give it to him, no matter how hard he tried, he wouldn't have succeeded. Even a very, very, very secular man like Pontius Pilate, as Jesus was before him and all the accusations are brought before Jesus, and Jesus kept silent like a lamb led to a slaughter. And Pontius Pilate in his pomp and power, and then Jesus in prison and in chains or as a prisoner. It looks like Jesus is the one who didn't have the power, and he's the one who has the power. That's wrong. Jesus had the power. It was in love that he did that for it. As Pontius Pilate looked at Jesus and said, "Do you not know that I have the power to set you free? To keep you there?" The reply of Jesus must have shocked him. Jesus said, "You have no power over me except what God has given you." I read the secular history of Pontius Pilate and how he came up into power. There's no mention of God. There's a lot of bribery that he did with the Roman emperor. There's a lot of manipulation. Now, their methods were wrong. And they didn't realize that it's not because of their methods that it worked. It is by God's permission that it worked. What they forgot to do is this, because they didn't know God. See, the desire to have power, the desire to be in position, came from God. And they didn't realize God could have stopped them. But it was God who allowed it and permitted it. God could have stopped it. Bible examples, just like Moses. Remember when he was 40 years old, it was in God's plan for him to deliver the Israelites. And there's something strange about the plan of God and the destiny of God in our life. It is like in your spiritual genetics. It is like in your soul genetics. That's all you want to do in life. Something drives you, a desire drives you. Those implanted desires by God in our soul genetics. And even when he was 40 years old, he knew that his goal in life was to be with the Israelites. He didn't know how, he didn't know when. And he tried one of his methods and he failed. He missed the timing and he missed the method. But in the end, he still got it. To do God's will in his life. So it is possible that sometimes the wrong methods come in, and people think it's because of the wrong methods that the person got promoted. Never. It is because God tolerated those wrong things. And it's because it's in his original permission that it can be done. No matter how Pontius Pilate could have plotted and planned, there was no way he would have risen up as a governor over those areas if God did not allow it. It's important for us to understand there is no delegation without an appointment from God. It is only God who can give any kind of position, whether in church, in ministry, in the secular world. If we will all humble ourselves to acknowledge that, we will cease from our own frail striving and just be willing to do the will of God. All we have to do is to be and do what God wants us to do. And sometimes when it's God's will for you to do something, even if there's a lot of opposition, to make it twice as hard, God will still find a way to do it. Example, the life of Joseph. God revealed he was to be a ruler. Even when he was 17, nothing could stop him. And nothing can stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And God has a destiny for your life. See, we need to understand that law. And let's say supposedly that you are serving under somebody. And let's say that somebody is not sensitive to God. And really, on your side, God wants to do something more. Well, it will still come forth. Even if it's not within the framework of that organization, it will be in another organization. Remember, organizations are just tools. But your general ministry to the body of Christ will still be the same. It's important for us to understand that all delegated authority must first come from an appointment by God. From the top we recognize that, from the bottom we must recognize that, and there will be divine harmony. So what are we all seeking for? God's perfect will for every life. And when we have seen a scriptural pattern, like for example, there's another case of Bible striving, Esau and Jacob. It was in the plan of God that Jacob continue on in the certain realm. That doesn't mean God never had a plan for Esau. God has a separate plan for him that was not revealed. So it was in a different manner. He could have lived satisfied where he is. In the end, he did. He lived satisfied in the realm that God determined. But Jacob failed in one area. He failed to realize that he could have rested in God and received all he wants. Just be faithful in God. He doesn't have to strive. He doesn't have to cheat. He doesn't have to do it his own way. If he allowed God to do it, it would have been so much better. Now, God did not sanction the methods of Jacob. God tolerated them. There are a lot of things God tolerated. God did not sanction the lies told by Rahab. He tolerated them in the context. When Rahab hid the people, she told a lie. Understand that those things do not justify God's principle. We have to see from God's side that there are a lot of things he tolerated. God did not sanction Abraham telling a lie about his wife. God tolerated that. Just as God did not sanction Ishmael coming out to Hagar, God tolerated it. God even blessed Ishmael. There are a lot of things that God tolerated, and let's not take the tolerance of God for the will of God. Let's not take the tolerance of God to prove that God sanctioned a wrong method and a wrong style altogether. Jesus came and proved to us the most divine way for promotion. Be faithful to do whatever God wants you to do, and at each step of the way, God will lead you step at a time. There will be no struggle at all. So in our second point, we recognize that all delegation, all delegated authority comes from God's appointment. When we recognize that, anyone who wants a promotion must get into God. Unlike the secular world, when you want to get promotion, you get as near as possible to the person who can promote you. But in the kingdom of God, all promotion we recognize comes from God. All positions come from God. And they are not based on rewards. They are not based on performance. They are based on God's destiny for our life. If you try to look at it the other way, you'll be happy too. For example, if it's not God's will for me to preach and teach, I will be most unhappy when you push me into that position. In fact, I may make so many mistakes that I have more criticism coming up from what I do because it's not in God's will than I should have. And it ends up more misery. Let's learn to seek after God's will and understand that all delegated authority comes from an appointment by God, whether secular or spiritual. And in the secular world, it's the same. We just have to keep doing what we know the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. And keep as much to the methods of God as you understand them. Don't copy the things of the world. Even though the world says, if you don't do this, you're not going to get promoted. If you don't do this, you're not going to get promoted. Don't listen to them. Because if a promotion is due to you from God, and God wants you to have the position of influence, no man, no demon can stand in the way for that. God will send His angels, just as He sent His angels in the book of Daniel, and strengthen the hand of Cyrus. Gabriel, the angel said in the book of Daniel, in chapter 11, verse 1, also in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. If you read the history of the empire of the Medes and the Persians, that it looks like the Persians could predominate Cyrus the king. But yet, because Gabriel was strengthening the hand of Darius the Mede, he too had a part in the kingdom, and there was a joining of the kingdom of the Persians and the Medes. Why? Because an angel was there. An angel was there. And here, none other than Gabriel. God will strengthen your hand. And we don't have to fret, we don't have to worry about the things in this life. Although it doesn't mean that we become negligent, we sit around, shake our legs and don't do anything. You got to be in love with God, you got to do whatever God wants you to do, you got to be as faithful as you know how to God. And what we understand is, God's promotion is not based on that, it's based on His plan in heaven. Now let's look at some details here. In view of that, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. All delegated authority comes from appointment from God. Chapter 31, when it comes to Joshua's life, there's a twofold thing that we need to understand. In verse 3, Moses says, the Lord your God crosses over before you. He will destroy those nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as He did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land when He destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Notice it says, Joshua shall cross before you just as the Lord has said. Joshua was not chosen by Moses. And although he served Moses for many years before he was promoted, But don't think that it's because of the service that he got promoted. I know sometimes when preachers preach and they talk about serving, etc., and they talk about how if we are faithful, God will promote us. Yes, God will promote us, but into his will. Into his will. Because sometimes when we teach that way, it gives the impression that everyone who draws close and keeps serving will automatically, you know, get into certain types of positions. And then when our expectation is not met, we get disappointed with God. Now it is true that if it's God's will for you to, for example, be in a public ministry and begin to move into a position of authority to be the second man, the third man, etc., then you need to learn to serve. Because that is a road to promotion. But the opposite is not true. It doesn't mean that you automatically serve in that area, that you get into that position, because the position is determined by God. Let me give some more examples. Elisha served Elijah after he was chosen, not before he was chosen. Elijah came down from in 1 Kings from the mountain where he met God, and God told him to appoint Elisha. And then as he came to Elisha, he took his mantle and he threw it on Elisha. Elijah followed him and served him. Now, was he chosen before he served, or did he serve before he was chosen? He was chosen before he served. That tells us the principle here, that it's God who makes those choices. Now, serving God, we will always be promoted in any situation. It will help us to fulfill God's perfect will. But let's not get it backwards and wrong to think that when we want to get anything, we just keep serving and we will get that. Like, for example, you want to be like Richard D. Masters, and you just keep serving, you will be like him. Not necessarily true. Although there will be some impartation to association, no man can get you into something which God never determined you. No man has any power and authority to put you into something that God doesn't want you to. All power and authority in this earth comes from God. Any position of influence and authority, God is watching over carefully. And God has already predetermined who. It's important to serve. Don't underestimate that. It's important to learn the road of humility. Do not underestimate that. But let's not lessen the fact that God has a plan before even we were born. And Joshua, God has a plan for his life. And here he speaks about Moses recognizing him. Then in chapter 31, verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting, that I may inaugurate him." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. Later on, in chapter 31, verse 22-23, "Therefore Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, 'Be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you.'" And in chapter 34, verse 9, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses has laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." Two areas we want to look at here. There is a private inauguration, which has to do with a private appointment, and a public inauguration. When you look at delegated authority, of course, first before these two, there is, as I said, the appointment. With the appointment comes the anointing. So the appointment and the anointing must first come in our life. Joshua had the appointment way back earlier. Now Moses was about to go, God inaugurated him in the tent. And then Moses inaugurated him publicly before Israel. There was a private inauguration and there was a public inauguration. But before these two take place, there was an appointment that was probably there from the day Joshua served Moses. And from time to time, Joshua had fought some battle. That proved that he had an anointing. There were two things that were already in his life. Remember, you can be appointed by God and anointed by God, but have no position in any place. Elisha was appointed by God. For him, his anointing came later. Sometimes the anointing came close. To each is different according to the necessity to function in it. There was no necessity for Elisha to function in any anointing, so the anointing came later. In Joshua's life, it was necessary that he function in a level of anointing, so for him to fight the battles, so when anointing came on his life, there was an appointment and an anointment. In Aholiah and Bezalel's life, even while God was talking to Moses about building the tabernacle, these two people were already chosen by God. They were anointed because they were appointed. In the book of Exodus, as God spoke to Moses about the tabernacle, it was not God who named the two people. It was not Moses who named the two people, but it was God. In chapter 31, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name." Don't you think he's already appointed? What I pray that each one of us see here is that as we organize and run this church, I have surrendered my right to delegate to God. And it's as God sees it, sometimes with our mind don't understand. You see, in the world they make mistakes because they go do things by their mind and by their own wisdom. If it's by human wisdom, nobody would have elected Peter, James and John to head the church. Sometimes our wisdom is not what God's wisdom is. Our wisdom is as foolishness to God. While the foolishness is God is wiser than the wisest things that men have ever come up with. Because He, remember this, He is the Creator. He made all of us. And the one who made us knows what we are good for. What we are designed for. Some the head, some the eye, some the ear. And this is the thing I learned about delegation of authority. My power to delegate depends first on God's appointment. Did Moses appoint these people and then ask God to anoint them, or did God appoint and anoint them? The answer is obvious. Now, to the people, to the public, because there are two parts. One is a private inauguration, one is a public. To the people, they may not have noticed that it was God who called Aholiah and Bezalel. What delegated authority did Aholiah and Bezalel had? You notice here, and in verse 3 onwards, let's look verse 2 and 3, Exodus 31. "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I fill him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship." That's about the anointing. "To design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels, in for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, in it, I," you see that? "Have appointed with him Aholiah." Now, question, did Moses have any choice? His only choice is either to follow God or not. Moses was a Red Indian chief. He was a man in authority. I mean, he was a man that Aholiah and Bezaleel had to submit to. But who chose Moses? Artisan. God. Moses surrendered the right to delegate to God. If you are in a position of authority and you are a man who follow after God, please learn to surrender your power to delegate to God. Because you yourself were in that position because of God. And that's what we do in this place. God says, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and I have put, now with the appointment comes the anointing, I have put wisdom in the hands of all who are gifted artisans, and that they make all that I have commanded you. Now what happened is this, Aholiab and Bezaleel had the delegate authority. Under them were a group of artisans and workmen. And these other workmen must submit themselves to the authority of Aholiab and Bezaleel. Aholiab and Bezaleel must submit to the authority of Moses when it came to building the tabernacle. We understand here that God has His structure. But we are looking at delegated authority and the principle behind it. That there is an appointment and an anointment. It must take place here. Before they had any position, now let's differentiate between anointing, appointment by God, anointing by God, and position. Position is where there is a delegated authority in a structure, in an organism. But without a position, you can have an anointing. And you can have an appointment. Because those two things can work in your life before the position. Positions are important in God, and they have their time and place. But we need to demonstrate an appointment by God. Let's look over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. Looking at Jesus of Nazareth. We all know that Jesus chose 12 disciples. But I want you to know, before He chose, God chose. Jesus' only job was actually to discern who God chose. And that's what we recognize in the church. Although there is a structural, legalized authority that flows, there's only one way Indian chief, appointed by God. We recognize that even in authority, we can only look for those whom God chooses. Not what men choose. Not what we like. In Luke 6, verse 12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Why did he continue all night? He had to find out who God chose. He had the power to choose, but he must surrender the power to choose to God. If we don't surrender the power to choose to God, we may make mistakes. If Jesus himself, who had so much authority, so much wisdom, so much power flowing in his life, needed to fast and pray to determine who God chooses, how much more we? So it doesn't mean that when a person is in authority that they can simply delegate the authority. Please do not make a mistake of simply delegating authority. It will be the biggest mistake you make. When you give a position to someone not appointed by God and someone not anointed by God, you're going to have a rival. You're going to have problems. That applies also to secular positions. A footnote here. It doesn't mean those appointed and anointed by God are perfect. Neither does it mean that everybody should like them. God will work out whether people like them or not through other ways. We have to learn how to get on our knees to God and discover those two things, the appointment and anointment by God. Verse 13, when it was day, now he prayed a whole night, he called his disciples to him. From them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So we see Jesus delegating his authority to them. There is an appointment and there is an anointment. But he surrendered the appointment and anointment to the Father. He only sort of recognized what the Father has done. In the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 23, so when they appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now notice that fasting and prayer are connected to the appointment or the inauguration that takes place. Why? Because they need to discover what God has appointed and anointed. This must be determined first. Before you talk about delegated authority, look at God's appointment and anointment. You cannot even consider delegating authority without those two issues settled in our life. And that applies to the secular world, for some of you in the business world. Remember, all delegated authority, all authority and positions of influence, God will have a hand inside. If we listen to God, we will be blessed by God. Now what happens after that, after the appointment and anointment by God? That is two things. Private inauguration and public inauguration. Private inauguration is vital in the transference of position and a level of anointing before God. Joshua and Moses went into the tent of meeting with God alone. God spoke to them and God determined the time for that to take place. The private inauguration is to establish, although there's an appointment and anointing, yet there's some more things that can take place. Joshua already has a great amount of anointing in the battles that he fought. But Deuteronomy 34 says that the spirit of wisdom and understanding came on his life when Moses laid hands on him. It is what I call, why is the private one important? It is what I call the power of the blessing. The power of the blessing. The blessing of God is a tremendous teaching. Now the blessing from one in position is a tremendous powerful impact. It's called the power of blessing. When we are blessed, there is a divine river that is set in our life that removes a lot of hardship and opposition against God's will in our life. Receiving a blessing is like receiving quote unquote financial help. Supposing you can't do something financially and someone helps you financially, what happens? You are able to do what God wants you to do with the extra help. Almost everyone, perhaps some of you could be so blessed, it could be different, but even when you first started, it's the same. Almost everyone here buys their house, some their car, with a financial help from somewhere. It could be from finance company, from the bank. So what did that help you? It helped you to do what you wanted to do. Was it the bank who wanted to buy the house? No, you wanted to buy it. Now the blessing of God released a spiritual power into our life so that when you do something, it's not only what you do, but it's the impact of the other force that is now flowing along with you. It's important to learn to receive a blessing. To receive a blessing. And wherever I see men of God that are capable, they have done something, I receive the blessing of God from their lives so that what happens? so that when I send the minister, there is an impact from their life that also flows through with ease in what God has asked me to do. The same way when one is ordained and blessed, that sometimes people don't understand. Like recently there's a person who has a spiritual breakthrough in their life and began to walk in the heavenly realm, and he's becoming to church and attached to the church, and suddenly he decides to switch church, and he says he feels that the heavens is now closed. And now the earlier battle he had was also based on his achievement and his persistence, and he has a ministry of prayer. And you know what he forgot? That there is also an anointing that flows from association that you don't underestimate. Now every place carries a measure of their own blessing and their own uniqueness. So it depends on God's will for our life to be where God wants us to be. We know the opposite is true. Paul said, excommunicate that person who is in sin, so that he will deliver him to Satan. Now what is Paul talking about? There is a measure of protection that is over the person's life as long as he's in association, even though he's in sin. When you remove that, Satan just comes in. So we cannot underestimate that. It's important for that blessing to take place. And when it takes place, you know. Even from early days, I learned to ask for a blessing, even from seminary. Among the first few ministries I heard was Maurice Serulo wrote to him and asked him to pray a prayer of blessing, and I still have it. Then Charles and Francis Hunter, later on I met Donaldson personally, and then Manny Hinn and some of the others. And sometimes when I see men and women they may not be famous in the world, but I see their family life and I see them elderly in the Lord and so growing together, Amy and I knelt down and we say, could you bless us? We want something of that. It's important for us to know the power of blessing. Remember, Jacob fought for that power of blessing. What is that? There's just the power of blessing. But they knew and understand in the Old Testament the importance of it. How much that blessing will bring. When the servant was commissioned to look for a wife for Isaac, Abraham, in a sense, blessed him. Because of the blessing, everything he did just flowed. Even to the very signs that he was asking for. Because the angels of God were working. It was not only the servant's ability, it was the blessing of Abraham that came through in his life. There needs to be a private recognition. Now what does a private recognition involve? It involves a recognition by the established leadership. Before you're publicly recognized, you must be privately recognized, and don't ever get the two mixed up. If you try to get publicly recognized before you're privately recognized, you're in disharmony. So when people go about trying to get themselves publicly recognized before they're privately recognized, you're overstepping boundaries. You're imposing on leaders. I think, look, this is now my influence, you've got no choice but to appoint me. That's what the silent message is. It is out of order. We must always seek to hide ourselves in humility and in service, and allow a private inauguration to take place. Because when the private takes place, it is what you call the right hand of fellowship coming. Look at Galatians, right? We have to close soon. Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are of reputation. In the end, in verse 9, James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be peerless, perceived the grace that has been given to me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. there was a private inauguration. Now, the private inauguration must always come before the public inauguration. Just as the appointment must always come before the anointment. God appoints before He anoints. It's not reversed. So there must be a private inauguration. There must be a private recognition. An inauguration is like a recognition of God's appointment and anointment in your life. When it's privately recognized, then things will be established. And then the other is important too. The public inauguration. Why is the public inauguration necessary? So that those whom you are to lead, those whom you are to exercise the delegated authority over, know that you have the full backing of the one who appoints you. That is why it's not fair for people to delegate authority and don't announce or inform or publicly declare to those to whom they have been appointed over by the one who appoints him. Moses needed to have another session of inauguration with the Israelites, because the Israelites need to now lend their allegiance and loyalty to Joshua. And if Moses doesn't publicly do that, is going to make life difficult for Joshua. And we have seen in Christian ministry, sometimes when in a church where the pastor leaves and another pastor comes in, we have noticed that if the previous pastor is irresponsible, he just leaves, and then another pastor comes in and doesn't have, number one, the blessing or the recommendation of the previous one, it makes his job very difficult. Because how the people will still be thinking about the old one, and they'll be judging the new one by the old one. It's not fair. What the pastor should have been responsible to do was to make sure that he declared publicly, look, this has my blessing. This is my blessing, and I am solidly behind this man who takes over, and he has all my blessing. So the people who are there know that there is a transference taking place. They cannot just do that privately. You must do that publicly if you're responsible. Otherwise, we are making the job difficult for the other person. And then people understand there's a smooth transition. And it helps the other person. It helps them do their job better. And that's what the disciples been all the time when they have privately done something, they always publicly appoint, so that the message is clear to all that this is what God has decided. You see that in Solomon's life, that he was appointed and anointed by God, and David personally has chosen him and inaugurated him and given him the blessing. But they needed a public ceremony so that people know and understand. And that's the system by which we run the church. The private must come, but the public is necessary. Now, you have different types of people with different personality. There are those who sometimes try to have the public before the private, and they are trying to put pressure on them being appointed. That will never do, because it must come from God. And then there's a proper timing. Sometimes you may be appointed and anointed, but the time for you is not right yet, and the leaders who are over you should determine the time, not you. If you personally feel differently, then, and you still want to be in that place, you got to abide. Unless you don't want to be in that place, the organization is different. But as long as you're within the organization, you got to abide your time. And so there's no point putting pressure from the private side, from the public side, because something will go wrong. But when the private comes perfectly, some people are opposite. Say, no, I don't need that public one. They don't realize how necessary it is. Because if the public does not come, public inauguration does not come, there will be difficulties that may be there because people are not sure whether an authority has been usurped, whether it's a taking over or a giving over. And people need to understand that a smooth transference is ordained of God. And Joshua was publicly inaugurated. And you see in Joshua chapter 1 what took place. And this is what will take place. And when it's all done smoothly, the people, even when Moses died, and Moses was no more around, the people give him 100% of allegiance. They say to Joshua, these are the blessings of a public inauguration. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll close. The people said in verse 16, "All that you command us, we will do." That's a blessing. "Wherever you send us, we will go." That's the second blessing. Verse 17, "Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you." That's the third blessing. They will not submit to his authority as if it's Moses' authority. "Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses." That's a fourth blessing. In other words, they will pray for him, they uphold him, they will want God to be in his life. Verse 18, number 5. "Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, in all that you command shall be put to death." In other words, they will remove all opposition against him. That's powerful. And all this is there because there was a public inauguration and transference. And it was a blessing to Joshua. It makes his job so much easier. So we understand the principles of delegated authority. The delegated authority flows from God's appointment. And all those sub-principles that involve. And that's how we run the church. We're teaching on these 40 principles of how we run the church. And sometimes people forget, and you need to go and hear the tape again. But if you understand these principles, we understand here that if we adhere to it strongly, that there's no way. I mean, the church is coming to 8 years old by next week. We have seen lots of things. We have experienced different things. And some of them are not here now, but we experience sometimes people who are domineering and they think they can influence through money or through position. And one thing they found after many years, no way. No way, sir. Doesn't matter the size of your offering or the size of your title. It's important that we understand that we are here all to seek God's will. Both all the leaders from my side and from the side of the people. That all we want to do is that everyone find their place in God. And it's God's will for so and so, and let it be so. It's God's will for such and such, let it be done. It's important for us to understand. See, as we work together, we understand. So that when we begin to do things, we begin to experience things, the delegation, you can be assured that there will be a lot of fasting and prayer involved. Because there needs to be an appointment first by God. No man can appoint you. No, and in our organization, we don't believe in appointment before God appoints. An anointment. And even those two are not sufficient. Some people, when they have those two, they think their head grow big. It's not good enough. You need to develop fellowship and friendship to lead to a private inauguration. I mean, there need to be some relationship. And that takes place. Some people are in a hurry. They want a public inauguration. Unless there's a private recognition, there's no public recognition. And the private takes time because you have to allow God to build that relationship. And there's a private impartation and then finally the public, and then it's all in God's order. And the people of God can enter the promised land like Joshua entered the promised land. Hallelujah. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Oh God, we recognize that all positions come from you. And all authority on this earth flows from you. We ask, O God, that we all understand the keys to promotion, the keys to work together. And we understand, O God, that when everything is said and done, it is only your will that we all really want to do. And let your will be done in our hearts and our lives, O God. We also pray, O God, for people in authority here in their own businesses, in their own lives. We pray, O God, that you would cause each one of them to be responsible. Responsible for their authority and their influence. That we have to be a steward of fame as much as we are a steward of money. Because fame comes from you. Influence comes from you. And we have to be good stewards of that. So that we can turn the hearts of people to you. And not to ourselves. Not to the world or to the devil. So Father, work in our hearts and our lives. Seal the work of your Spirit in our lives and cause an understanding of these principles to come upon our lives so that no one of us need to strive. No one of us need to struggle, but we will all just keep loving you and let you bring out our destiny. So let the eye be the eye, the ear be the ear. And we will all have divine harmony, Lord. We don't have to struggle to be something we are not. But we will all, O God, seek to do only your will. Thank you, Father God. Establish your work and your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's continue singing the song, He is Lord, there's only one Lord and one God. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are risen from the dead, and you are Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Give Jesus a good clap offering. God bless you.